Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
We're here, we made it. And some of you were just like groveling to the finish line of 2018, and this just somehow magically at 12:01 a.m., January 1st, 2019, everything changes. But in a sense, it really does. God makes all things new on a regular basis. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for that He is a God who is working all things to the end of His will so that we are a part of a new creation, a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. Very, very thankful. It was just so poignant that we were praying at 414 West 51st, we were having a prayer meeting on December 31st, and 7 blocks away, the whole world was watching there. But 7 blocks towards the west, God was there. There wasn't a whole lot of fanfare. I don't think there were any celebrities except Pastor Bruce, but God was there. And people were really getting touched, probably delivered. There were some things happening. And just so thankful that, you know what? I think it's true for probably just about everybody in this room. I want to be where God is. I want to be where God is. And if it's, there's no fanfare, there's no ABC, there's no whatever, that's where I want to be. I want to be where God is. And I know you do too. So that's how we're going to start our new year. We have a powerful passage here of scripture to sort of jumpstart the year. I'm just sort of like doing a little filler right now as we're finishing there in the back rows, people putting in their prayer cards and all that. Thank you. Wanted to update on our big give, which we were a part of for the previous 3 weeks. Of course, we ended that at on the last day of last year, 2018. So here's the total right here. It was $136,000, $433.28. That may have been one of my children right there. And trust me, that's about all they got. So I want to really say thank you, church. That's a big win. The big give is a big win. And I can assure you that all year long, we're going to share the testimonies of what's happened because of your generosity. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It wasn't for me that I thank you, but I thank you for all of us collectively, that we're a part of something outside of ourselves, and we'll share a little bit more about that later. Okay, a lot of great people here. I want to welcome everyone. You know, we don't normally like welcome the new people or whatever, but I had the privilege of meeting Coach Toby with St. Thomas Aquinas, their basketball coach, and I met some others. If you're here, just wave to if you're kind of new here, just wave to me right here. And we don't normally do this, but let's just welcome. This is your first time. We welcome you. We're excited you're here. And yeah, I got it. You can put your hand down now. You know, just kidding you. Anyway, so happy to be here. Let's pray, and then we're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to talk about prayer for the next 2 weeks. And honestly, I just couldn't be more happy about this topic that has sort of landed on this new year. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that many prayers have already gone up this morning to you, and thank you that you're here. We acknowledge that you're present. Jesus, you said that wherever two or more gather in my name, I'll be there. And Lord, we just pray for the blessing of your Spirit upon this text and into all of our hearts, all of our minds, that you'll speak to us clearly today for what we need to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. If you have a Bible, you can open it. If you have a phone, you can open that. Just don't look at the football scores, okay? I know that some of you do, Pastor Bruce. He's my man today. He's my go-to guy today. So, yeah, Jets are not in it. That's why we're fasting this week. We're praying and fasting. Will you guys pray and fast with us for the Jets this year? You know, we are praying and fasting this week. We'll mention that later. Okay, verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. I know you do that every day, right? Aren't we a forgiving people? Right? Not really, but we want to be. This is a prayer. This is on the hard drive. Lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence. That's the English Standard Version. I love what the NIV says, shameless audacity. So that is shameless audacity is a very good translation of that Greek term right there. All right. Shameless audacity. Hello. Good morning. That's my wife's phone. Her parents are probably want to make sure she's in church today. You can go ahead. All right. Right. They're doing that, right? They're almost 80, I think, right? 81. Okay. Making sure their daughter's in church. All right. Making sure their son-in-law is on target here. Okay. He will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Powerful words on prayer and praying in the new year. I've got 3 brief points today. Number one is just the prayer teaching. And this is what Jesus was teaching them, the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But actually, in reality, it's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. He prayed for unity of his people, etc. That was how Jesus prayed. But he taught this model prayer. Now, you think about this, of all the things that you could ask the rabbi, they saw the rabbi multiply food. They saw Rabbi Jesus heal the sick. They saw Rabbi Jesus open blind eyes. They saw Rabbi Jesus dealing with sin and injustice. Of all the things that they could have asked, the thing that they asked is, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Because they saw a man in love with his heavenly Father, and there was something dynamic and exciting about his prayer life that drew their attention to that more than anything else. That was like, wow, our rabbi prays. He doesn't just do the duty, the perfunctory stuff, the rabbinical stuff. This man's got a passion for his Father. He's going after God. So they're like, man, we never knew how to pray that way. Lord, teach us to pray. And then he began to break it down. And you think about it, of all the things that we want to know about in Christian Western Civ, we want to know about soteriology, Christology, eschatology, pneumatology, all theology. But what the Lord is saying, it's like, let me just break it down for you. Here's the thing that really matters. Let me talk to you about prayer. Because that's what's going to change your life and change things around you, is learning how to pray. And it's great for me because I want to be a man of prayer. And about a year ago, I felt like there was a shift in my prayer life, about a year ago. Now, I've been a follower of Christ and a man of prayer for many years, but something shifted where I realized that prayer in most situations is all I have. I don't have anything. I don't have any other options. I've got to learn how to pray, connect with God, believe in God, believe from God, believe for other people. It's fairly constant, the need for prayer. And so then Jesus began to talk and teach. Here's where it begins. And look how he does this. He says, the first of all, when you pray, say, Our Father. Our Father. Now, there are two, at least two Greek words here, or Aramaic words. One is pater. Pater is our Father that way, like our natural Father or whatever. And then there's Abba. Abba was the word that Jesus... Now, this is original. There are no other world religions that teach this. This is such an intimate term. It's like daddy, dad. Our Now, that is mind-blowing because in the Old Testament, there were 15 times where the Old Testament references the title of Father for God. But none of those are in connection with prayer. But in the New Testament, it's 165 times there's a reference to the Father. And many of those times, it's in reference to when we pray. We can go to God as a Father. That turns me on today. That lights me up today. I didn't have a good biological father until I, you know, years after my father disappeared, I found him. I led him to Christ. And then about 20 years later, he became an amazing, amazing father. It's a long, complicated journey and story. I don't need to get into that. But here's the thing that happened to me is that I learned that God is a father to the orphans. God is a father to the fatherless. And when you meet God as your father, your whole life and perspective begins to change because you really quit filling those voids with other things and you go hard after him, recognizing that he's generous, he's caring, he's kind, he's good. And about 3 weeks ago, I asked you, give an inventory, write down your inventory of all the things that you're thankful for. And when you do that, it begins to change perspective and you no longer feel like a victim or you no longer feel like I deserve this. God has been good and gracious to everyone in this room and everyone who can hear my voice. No, you don't have what the guy next door has, but that's okay. You've got a lot of times something greater because when you have God, when you have God as your Father, which it's like, it's amazing, all of his titles, King and Lord and Most High, and all of these terms, there is something not just transcendent, but something imminent about God. He's here. He's on the spot. He's with you in the subway. He's caring for you. He's protecting you. Some people obsess about their own protection. Chill out. God is here. God's with you. Seriously. And he's a caring, loving father. And you guys who are dads, you know what that means. It's like you look at that baby, you're like just awed by them, especially the younger they are. When they're doing nothing, they're in a crib sleeping, you're flipping out, you're taking pictures of them, they're doing nothing for you. It's just raw connection love. And it's amazing. And think about how, this is what this passage is saying, how much more is God turned on towards you? And it's not when you do something like, hey, look, I hit a home run. Hey, look, Dad, I did this. Sure, you like all that. It's just because you're my son or my daughter. It's just because. This is the beginning of prayer, is knowing who you're praying to and developing that beautiful relationship with God as your Father. Romans 8:15 says that the Spirit of God gives us these words, which we cry out, the spirit of adoption, and we cry out, Abba, Father. It's just in us. It's just innate in us. We cry out. This is our heart towards God. And then Jesus goes on and teaches us to pray, let your kingdom come. Let there be honor to your name. Let there be honor to your name, Lord, and let your kingdom come. Then he begins to give us instruction. And see, prayer doesn't begin with asking. Prayer begins with acknowledging. When you go to prayer, you're acknowledging there's someone greater. There's an alignment in my life every day when I pray. Every time I pray, I get aligned. My heart gets checked. You begin to ask, like when you work through this, like why aren't some prayers answered? Why does God want us to keep asking when sometimes he just says no? What's that all about? And we're being changed in the prayer life. This is a relationship first. It's not a slot machine. If God's answer was always yes, he's not God. It's not just a slot machine or a genie in the bottle. It's God. God is ruling with sovereignty, and he's ruling with grace and wisdom, yet he invites us to come into the story through prayer, into the relationship through prayer. That's what he's doing. And so then Jesus gives some practicals here. He says, when you're praying, and this is like, if you look at verse 3, this is a verse that everyone can memorize. give us each day our daily bread. Verse 3. There's only one verse in the Bible that's more simple than that, and that's Jesus wept. That's a whole verse. This is a better one to memorize. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a simple thing. Give us this day. This is a reflection for the Jewish people of how God provided manna for them in the wilderness. Manna would come down. And in the wilderness, they had no food. So they cried out to God, and God gave bread. Or he gave this stuff. They called it the word manna. You know what that means? It means, what is it? What is it? That's literally what is it? It's not bread. It's not, what is it? And so they called it manna. And God would send them manna, and he gave them instructions in Exodus how to go get the manna and bring it into your tent and feed your household. And that's what it was there for. I don't have the time to read these scriptures in Exodus 16, but that's what they're referencing. That's what Jesus is referencing, is the daily manna that comes in our life. And I believe that in our lives, that manna or bread, give us this day our daily bread, is our physical needs, our needs for health, our needs for provision, our needs for food, but it's also our spiritual bread. Jesus also said, I'm the bread of life. And so I want to have a word every day. I want to have a word. That's why every day in this new year, even if it's just 1 minute or 5 minutes, go to the word and look for what he's given you and dropping you out of heaven for your heart and your soul and your comfort and your need. I mean, this is a beginning point, a little piece, but it's an everyday prayer. Lord, give us this day my daily bread. Show me what I need. And you could just read the passage of scripture that we're with, or it's a new year. You could read through the Bible in a year. There's so many reading plans. I think it's 3 chapters a day. And by the end of the year, you can say, I've read through the whole Bible. There's some survey done with pastors like something like 85 to 90% have never read through the entire Bible. You know what I say about that? Come on, dude, you can do better than that. Just do it. Do it once if you only do it once. But read through the Bible. Get to know the word. See what God is saying to you. Pray on a daily basis. I believe that there's provision that you don't even know is coming when you pray that prayer and you become aware of that prayer. There's provision that you don't know about. Sometimes God brings certain opportunities in our lives, but if we're not ready for it, we ignore it. We just say, oh, that's for somebody else. I have lived to regret those moments when God would bring things or people or situations into my very path and I don't recognize it for what it is because I'm not alert, I'm not aware. This is something that we pray about. Secondly, he not only prays, Jesus covers the prayer for our present needs, but also our past needs when he says, forgive us our sins. That's what's behind us. A lot of us have just got to bury the hatchet this year. You got to let go of your past. I ministered to someone yesterday, and it was someone who has been lost it from our lives for a long time, and you could just feel that there was some shame for where this person had been. And I just looked, and I said, it's over. It's done. When we drive a car, we don't look in the rearview mirror the whole time, or you crash. You look straight ahead. So this year, can we let go of what's behind us and press forward to what lies ahead, right? Someone say amen. It's okay. Like once in a blue moon, I'm going to say amen. And I don't want to abuse that. That's a Southern Bible Belt colloquialism. But it's okay if once a year we bring it into New York. Can you say amen to that? Your past is over, friends. God is done with your past. He's forgotten it. He's dropped your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. It's over. Quit dredging it up. Don't go fishing. You should be out there enjoying the sea, not fishing for your deep, dark past. It's over. Praise God. But then he goes on not only for the present and the past, but then Jesus talks about praying a prayer for our future. Lead us not into trials or temptation. We're all prone to wander, and this is a real prayer for us. I don't need to wander in 2019. So Lord, I want to pray that hedge of protection over my life. Nor do I want to enter into unnecessary trials. I was talking to one of our sisters in our church, Gloria, and Gloria Hopsonville, she serves in the children's church and she's part of the night service. And her parents live in the fire zone in California. And in their neighborhood of about 30 homes, there were two or three homes that the fire like literally jumped over and missed. And one was her parents' home. And even the grass was not singed. And I have about eight pictures. I said, show me that. I want to see the proof. So I have eight pictures in my phone from her, and they would not quite make it into this screen. It's you'd have to like analyze it a little bit. But the point is that her family is a praying family. And they were all evacuated from this neighborhood. And one of their neighbors said, I'm staying. And the dad said, well, let me teach you how to pray. And he taught this man about prayer. And because of the circumstances, he listened. Isn't it interesting? Some people don't listen when everything's going great. You're living in a posh neighborhood in California with a great view of the mountains. And who needs to pray then, right? Well, who needs to pray? Everybody needs to pray. But there are times when we recognize our need for prayer. And this is one of those. And his home also avoided the flame. And that's obviously opened up a big door of conversation about who is this God that just protected my home and my life and my property. And so when we pray that prayer, we don't know what we're doing every day. And we say, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from mistakes. Deliver me from wandering eyes. Deliver me from the click that could go into the wrong site, right? Deliver my children from those things. Deliver us, God, from being on the wrong bus at the wrong time. Deliver us from being in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time. But deliver us from bad mistakes and direct our path, direct our steps. So that's our prayer for our future. So Jesus laid this out, and then he goes into the second point of this, which is the prayer parable. And I need to speed up a little bit here, but the prayer parable is that prayer of this man who had someone come to his home at midnight and he did not have any baked bread. And in this culture of a Palestinian home 2,000 years ago, hospitality is of critical importance. And if someone shows up at your home, it's your obligation and your duty, and it's a part of the ethos in the culture that you have to open your door and give them some bread. This man had none. So he went to his other friend. So he had a friend on the ask side, and then he had a friend that he could go to side, and he went to this friend, and he said, hey, someone showed up to my home, and here it is midnight. His door is locked, and these are like one-room homes, and his door's locked, and everyone's asleep, and he says, I need some bread, and then the guy says, hey, man, my family's in bed. Everyone's, and he's kind of like describing they're all asleep, and this is some people call it today the family bed, where even today some people say, hey, well, if the family slept together then, maybe we should just let the kids in our bed and we all have just a family bed. I don't know if anybody's ever heard about that, but it's crazy. And I wouldn't advise it at all because that was a economic need. But man, we're going to buy our babies their own bed and try our best to keep them in there. Even if they cry all night long, you're going to find a way to go to sleep on your own. And all God's parents said, that's two amens in the first of the year. All right, there you go. So he's in bed and he's saying, hey, I can't help you. Don't bother me. Everybody's in bed. And there's even some records of families bringing their animals in to that room at nighttime. They would bed down and everyone was there. And if this dad were to get up, he'd wake everyone up. So he's got a ruthless, shameless guy, shameless audacity going after him. And there's either going to be a problem in the neighborhood with the screaming, I need some bread. I've got to live a shame-free life to provide bread. Or there's going to be a family that's going to wake up and all be perturbed because their friend is waking them up. So there's already disruption. And the Lord is giving this parable. Now, a parable is not, this is not what happened. A parable is a story. Parable is a something alongside as comparison. And what Jesus is comparing here is the shameless audacity of a story that could really be happening in a community, and how great and gracious and utterly amazing the Heavenly Father is in His generosity. And so, who is this shamelessly audacious person? Is it the man knocking at the door, or is it the man in bed? It's not really clear, but they both, then the man in bed finally gets up, wakes up his family, turns the lamp on, gets three loaves of bread. Now, why one dude needs three loaves, I don't know. But maybe he had a family, or maybe we can't see something here. But he takes his three loaves, he gives it to him, and everyone is satisfied and everyone is happy. Now, Jesus is underscoring this to show that with God the Father, we can be shamelessly audacious to go to Him in spite of our past and where we've been. You can approach the throne room of grace in the presence of an almighty and holy God, and you will not be zapped like I will zap a roach if I see one in my apartment. I will shamelessly zap it. But God will never do that to you, children of God. He will never say, hey, He will never stiff arm us or push us away. God welcomes us and He says, come like you are, but come through the finished work of my Son Jesus, who made a way for you and who has forgiven you and whose blood has redeemed us and set us free. And so God says, come on in. And this is this beautiful parable that talks to us about persistence and hospitality and all of these issues that we can see here. And here's another one, the need for us to get out of bed to participate in the great story of God. This man could have, I mean, there are times when God, okay, child of God, you will be inconvenienced if you are loved of God. You will be inconvenienced. You will have a midnight call. You will have a dark moment. You will have a 3 a.m. call if you're a pastor and a 4 a.m. and a regular. You better learn to cut your phone off. You will be inconvenienced. Somebody's going to just download all their problems. I asked a friend of mine this week, can I tell you a sin that I committed? A bad sin. A lie. May I? My son wants it, so he's looking for the advantage over dad. Okay, here you go. I was talking to someone, and I just, on the phone, I couldn't take it anymore. And I hung up. And I sent a text. I'm sorry, it was a bad connection. I did that. I couldn't take it anymore. I actually did that. I've done it one time. I felt so badly about doing it. I've repented. I'm pure. I'm sanctified now. I don't think I'll do it again. But sometimes you get inconvenienced and you're looking for a way out of getting out of bed. In the middle of the night, waking up everyone because of your shameless neighbor friend. You have been inconvenienced by people before. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Especially if you're a part of the Christian community. People write me, pray for my three removed aunt. Pray for my distant cousin. I ain't interested in praying for your distant cousin. I'll pray for you, but that's as far as it gets. My responsibility ends. That's the wrong neighborhood. They got their own neighborhood. I feel better already. Happy New Year to me. But you begin to see in the New Testament that there, bread is important. This is an important issue of life. I mean, they knew which house had the bread. They knew. In these little communities, home is beside home. Have you ever been through the airport and seen Cinnabon or Aunt Annie's, right? You ever seen that right there? Isn't that the sign right there of the manna from heaven right there? You can smell it. I used to go through LaGuardia Airport and make, I had my frequent flyer Aunt Annie's miles. And then my wife Lynette caught me and she said, you know, you could do better than this. And she's right. Because they're good, though. It's just a lot of carbs. We don't need it. But they could smell it in the heavens. They could smell it in the neighborhood. And here's what I want to say. Can we learn to live in abundance where we're not just making bread that comes out from heaven to to feed our family, but can we really learn what it is to bake bread and have it available for somebody else? That is what this church did in the Big Give, and we're going to put in some water pumps in Pakistan. We have just finished constructing a building in one of the most remote, poorest regions of India. We just finished our building. That's the first church building we built outside of New York right here. We are going to be involved in some things locally. You'll hear about it next Sunday. We're going to talk about it. But there are some things that happen because somebody is baking some bread in this house. And it's going to be available to the first smeller who comes in and shamelessly says, I need some help. Will you help me? Final point right here. And that is our prayer process, problems, and promises. Now, as you look at this, the rest of this passage right here, it is totally about the asking, the seeking, the knocking, and these things will, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. The Greek word here is a continual action. It's not a one ask wonder. It's not, again, this is about relationship. And even when sometimes we don't get our way, and this is the problem of the ask, is we've all done this before and we didn't get what we wanted. I love Dave Tang's testimony that he had nasal sinus cancer and he was healed. I love that. It's very close to home because I have a son who went through 71 rounds of radiation and he too was healed, and then he ended up passing away. You know that that's not how we were praying. But you also know this, is that God is sovereign. Sometimes we don't get what we want on this side of heaven, but on that side of heaven, we will learn the mysteries of life, of why it went that way and not my way. So we have these problems with this, issues with this, but we also have promises that come with the continual action of asking and praying and seeking. So why does Jesus say, keep on asking? Why does he say, be shameless, keep approaching? It's because there's something that's going to happen on the other side that will change our lives. I want to get to this story. I'm going to just save some of this for next week, which I'm excited about. But let me just end on this story. I've worked extensively in mainland China. It's been a great privilege of my life. It's a nation that God sent me to. I wasn't looking for it, asking for it. It just happened in prayer 23 years ago. And the Lord put in my heart to go visit China. I visited, and while I was there, some things happened, and we started training their leaders who were not trained in the Word of God because they didn't have Bibles. And this started spreading to these training centers. We got a grant from a very large Christian broadcast company, extremely large. Matter of fact, this particular organization, they sold one of their channels to ABC. They made a lot of money, and they wanted to give money away. And someone asked me to provide a grant request. I'd never done a grant request. I looked around my church. There was a guy who graduated from Harvard. I said, hey, can you come with me? And we're going to go and write a grant request. I said, you went to Harvard. You majored in English. You've got to be able to do this without my Southern grammar. So you can do this for me. So we did it together. We wrote it. About 6 months later, we found out we received it. Then all this training began to spread. Well, 3 years later, we had no idea how much it had spread. I mean, you know, when you have a blank check for a budget and you've got a great team, they're bilingual, they're bicultural, all that, it began to spread, miracles began to happen. And then I went back to this meeting, and all of the leaders of the underground house church movement in China were gathered there, and they were reporting to us what happened in the previous 3 or 4 years. And so we were just overwhelmed with joy. I stood up at the end, and I said, brothers, this is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. It's just been our joy to serve you. What else do you need? Well, when that interpretation went out, the interpreter said to them, pastor wants to know, what do you need? Not like a North Carolina expression like, Lord bless you, or whatever you, you know, it's like, do you need anything else? Or it, that was like, sort of like just, I got trapped into just saying something nice. I didn't mean anything by that. I just meant like, what, you know, like, well, if you need anything else, we'll pray for you. But the interpreter, the Chinese man interpreting, said, Pastor wants to know, what else do you need? And so then the leader of the largest house church movement in the history of China said, well, we need some new Bibles. And all this is through translation. And then the interpreter, I said, well, great. You know, you're thinking like 500, 5,000, maybe at most 10,000 Bibles. That's how you're thinking, right? And then he says, well, for our new believers alone, we need 1 million Bibles. And so the way all this was interpreted, like he said that, and I thought, this has got to be a mistake. I mean, there's no way. I mean, this guy had 12 million people in his movement. So, and this, you know, you could look at, you could Google it and figure out who it is, but we don't like to, you know, talk about this. These are stories that happen, and these guys put their lives on the line, And so the interpreter looked at me and he said, you know, Pastor Ron, you basically, they're expecting you to give them this. This was not a nice, this is a done deal. So here I was rejoicing 1 minute prior, like celebrating all the glorious things that God had done in putting this whole training thing together in all the provinces of China, like 27 provinces. I mean, it was a miraculous thing. And then that's not enough. This is shameless audacity. They're getting me out of bed. I was just in the relaxed celebration mode. It's all happened. It's all over with. I get on the plane, and I am literally 100% miserable. Who do I know? Because I knew that every new Bible, because you can't give them a New Testament. These are guys that are dedicated to the whole Bible. You have to give them the whole Bible. And I knew a new Bible was $4. So I went back to America and started sharing my need. Nobody seemed to be interested. Finally, one brilliant person, that's quote unquote, one brilliant person said, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to talk to every American we know. Everyone has extra Bibles in their home. We're going to box them up and ship them over there for you. I'm like, thank you, brother. They speak Mandarin. Thank you. Brilliant. So that didn't work. So the only thing I could do was ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and kick. Ask, I mean, just go after it. Get before God. Just own it. Take it. And I was asking questions. God, why didn't you give this to Rick Warren? Why didn't you give this to James Dobson? Why didn't you give this to, why me? I'm broke. Lord, how are you going to do this? You know, I have $4. Let me see, $4. Okay, I'm good for 10 Bibles. Okay, I could do 100. Okay, I can do 1,000 Bibles. That was it. Okay, well, that's 1%. So there's 99 more people who can figure out a way to do that too, right? You start thinking like that, but I just stayed at it. About a year later, the guy who was interpreting, was my leader in this whole project. He called me and he said, I've got good news. I said, great, what happened? He said, you know, when all the people in Hong Kong, they come through Hong Kong into a border protected place, and they are what we call donkeys. They carry in suitcases of Bibles and they sneak them in through the border and they give them to the movements in China. He said, well, the previous 20 years said there have been Bibles that have been stored up that because they were caught and they were asked to leave their suitcase and get out of their nation. And they had just been sitting there in a room and just stacked up to the ceiling. And there are 250, this is an approximate number, 250,000 Bibles. And he said, the guy who is in charge of that border just got born again. He just met Jesus. And he wanted to know, what can he do with these Bibles? Because he doesn't want to burn them. They've been sitting there taking up room. What can he do? And person to person ended up to this guy. And then we were able to, for like $14,000, we funded trucks that came in at the night, loaded them up on a tractor trailer truck, and took them to my friend for his down payment on his million Bibles. So that was the first 250. And it wasn't long thereafter that one person after another started hearing about this, and a billionaire actually went to Shanghai with me, and he found out about this. He said, I'm just going to put some underground printing presses in here. We'll take care of it. So we're at several million Bibles delivered. Done. That was years ago. I don't have to think about that anymore. Isn't that great? And I will never ask, what else might you need in a foreign culture that I'm not sure that they don't understand the American way? How you doing? I don't really mean that. How you doing? Fine. Great. I didn't even hear you say fine. You're fine anyway. So God holds us at these things, but the reality of prayer is that prayer is powerful if you keep it, if you own it, if you stay on it. When you're 9 months pregnant and you don't have all the pain medicine and all that, all the pain medicine they have today, it's like a heavenly experience. But if you don't have that, you're going to do one thing, two things. Number one, you're going to push. You're going to get it out. Number two, you're going to scream. And when you are in prayer over something and you enter that place of pushing it out, Scripture says they were actually crouching it out in prayer. And you're going to push it through. The breakthrough is going to happen. And God is going to just change your life. All right, let's have our ushers pass out our communion elements. That's what you call a crash landing there to your sermon. But they're ready. The band is here. Thank you, guys. So let's just all pass these out and take communion together. But hopefully these next 2 weeks, we're going to really learn what it is to be persistent in prayer, to believe God, and we're going to find out about why some prayers aren't answered next week. I just want to get to the point of all of us going before God on a regular basis, a daily basis, and saying, Lord, here I am. Here's what I need. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lead me not in temptation. I believe in this Lord's Prayer, as we call it, or the disciples' prayer. I believe in this. It's a powerful way to live. It's important stuff on a daily basis. I want to say in advance that God wants to protect you in 2019. He wants to guard us. He wants to protect us. Secondly, I have no doubt that God wants to bless us in this new year. He really wants to bless us. He wants to show us great and mighty things, as Jeremiah says. And so we're going to just right now just take a minute, and we're going to just dedicate our lives to the Lord this year. We're going to thank Him. God, we just praise you, Lord, right now as we are receiving these elements. Thank you, Lord. This is a week that we're going to pray and fast and seek you, Lord. Lord, we know that many people are still have to eat food because of their situation, their condition, their needs. And yet, Lord, we can all give up something for you. And Lord, we thank you that we pray with every inconvenience this week, every hunger pain, fill us up with more of you. Fill us up with more of your life and your love. Fill us, Lord. God, thank you for your amazing grace that you answer prayer. I pray that every child this year that's born would be perfectly protected and blessed. I want to thank you that we've seen this happen before. I want to thank you, Lord, that every marriage, dear God, we're praying in advance now, deliver us from the evil one, Lord, and deliver us from trials this year. Pray that every marriage would be held tight. Lord, I pray that every student here would just have open heavens and open doors. And Lord, I pray that every person, every God, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to start this year in your presence by receiving your body and your blood this day. I want you to take the bread at the top and remember that this is the bread that was provided for us. And Jesus didn't do it out of like, oh, I'm inconvenienced by this. It wasn't that. He did it willingly. He did it willingly. He laid his life down. Lord, we thank you that your body and your blood are sanctified. And we receive from the bread of heaven, the body of our Lord Jesus, complete and total healing and Lord, the victory that's in Jesus. Amen. God, we thank you today for the blood covenant, the blood of our Lord Jesus, that makes all of this possible, that or there would be an expectation that you will provide. There would be that expectation that you will come through for us. Thank you, Lord, for coming through for us in so many ways. How you came through for David Tang, we thank you, Lord. How you're coming through for Michael in his life and his need. How you're coming through, Lord, for everyone in this body. Protect us. Lord, defend us. Embrace us. We pray, thank you now for the blood of Jesus. As we receive this communion, we thank you, Lord. We're mindful that you have forgiven us of our sins. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.